fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday. It is Friday, the 18th day of August, year of our Lord, 2023. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Why do I say year of our Lord? Well, first of all, it's true. Second of all, it really irritates Muslims and atheists. So that's a good thing. We begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Proud to say we get a lot of support for doing this. School districts, principals, superintendents of schools say it takes too much time out of the school day, between 10 and 15 seconds. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip of the day, I'm reminded of this constantly, I'm sure you are also, to pray without ceasing. I pray every day when I get up. I pray before every meal. And, of course, we have structured prayers at the church I go to, the By Burnham Free Will Baptist Church. We'll have Pastor Evan Bell with us a week from today. We're alternating Fridays with Pastor Bell and my friend Dr. Scott Huff. All right. We're hoping that my friend Tom Berryhill will call in. Once he does, we will begin our usual Friday discussion of emergency survival communications, ham radio, related topics, and we'll have open lines for the time being. The call number is 512-248-8252. And it looks like we do have my friend Tom Berryhill with us. And Tom began a quest more than half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with emergency survival communications, ham radio, and electronics. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Well, sir, the fires in Hawaii demonstrate once again what we've been talking about for a number of years here, the value, the necessity, the life and death consequences of having or not having effective communications, don't they?
Yes, sir. That's a fact. And also the power supplies for this communications equipment, the way you power it would be very important under those circumstances. As the power lines were out, I've even heard that maybe it was a power line that caused that fire. Who knows? But anyway, communications equipment, portable battery-operated systems would be very important in a situation like that.
The city, the city's director of emergency preparedness, he did not alert the population with the sirens. They had 70 sirens, 58 were functioning. He said the following: I was concerned that people would think it was tsunami warning and they would run towards the fire up into the mountains instead of away from the fire. Well, I'm not in charge here, but if I was, I would have the following system set up: a steady alert for of a siren, a steady wail, non-stopping for tsunamis, and a pulsating wail where it would go for 3 seconds, off for 3 seconds, something like that, in the event of a fire. Very simple way to make use of what they already have, wouldn't it, Tom?
Well, yeah, two separate systems, perhaps, or maybe, like you say, two different distinctive siren types or alert tones.
Well, that's what they could do with the existing system. Now, it would be more expense. Now, if they wanted to set up 70 more pieces of equipment that made an alternate sound, obviously go for it and have a great time setting it up and spending the money. But I'm just thinking of a way to make use of the existing, already installed, already paid for equipment, which was mostly functioning. 58 out of 70 sirens were functioning. 12 were out of service. In addition, every police car I've ever seen for the last half century plus has had a public address system built into the police car where a very loud amplifier can broadcast a warning. I believe almost all fire and paramedic vehicles also have built-in public address systems, don't they, Tom?
Most of them do that I've seen. You're right. And they could have easily had police cars going around and through neighborhoods and alerting the residents to the situation.
Well, real simple. They should do. Real simple. The chief of police says, young officer, you take your squad car, you drive down these streets. I don't know how many squad cars they've got, probably 8 or 10. Give an assigned area for each squad car to go 100 feet or so, make the announcement, which would be really quick, wildfire coming, evacuate now. That would be pretty simple. May repeat that 3 times. And go another 100 feet, make the same announcement, and repeat that going through all these neighborhoods so people would get that verbal warning from police equipment, from fire equipment, paramedics, right?
Well, that would certainly be one way to do it.
Now, something I've set up personally here in Davisville, Missouri, is a FM transmitter, which transmits on the regular commercial band, where we can talk to all our citizens at one time on a commercial frequency. Same thing I helped set up and did the help personally and do the install in Viburnum, Missouri. The town of Cuba, Missouri, has done a similar thing based on the experience I had. I hope to be meeting with the new director of emergency preparedness for Crawford County and encouraging the county to move forward to install similar systems in the other two large communities, which would be Steelville, Missouri, and Bourbon, Missouri, to have that set up where if the authorities could be the chief of police, the mayor, the superintendent of the schools, the fire chief, whoever necessary to talk to all the citizens at one time so they can do that. That'd be a pretty smart thing, and it costs less than $300, Tom. How about that?
Yeah, that's a low price. That equipment is available. I've seen it on eBay. Very low prices. I can't believe they can sell it as low as they do.
Well, that's a miracle of modern technology. You know, if you're going to build one Chevrolet Corvette, it's probably going to cost $500,000. But if you build 10,000 of them, the price gets down where people can buy them, doesn't it?
Well, that's true. The first run, the first production run, is very expensive. And the first
I'm not talking about a production run. I'm talking about a custom-built car, not a production run.
But I'm saying, if you build just one, that's almost considered a prototype or a design model, and that's very, very expensive. In fact, I don't think you could do it for $500,000. It would take several million.
Well, same thing with a simple lawnmower. You're going to build one lawnmower, it's going to be at least five times as expensive as building thousands at a time, isn't it?
Or thousands of times more expensive. Very, very expensive to make the first unit when it's a one-off production.
Precisely. Anyway, we have listeners in Hawaii. The one fellow who's a regular caller, Ted, he's a retired airline pilot. At my request, not at my request, but on his own volition, he's traveling to the fire-devastated area, I believe, today. He spoke with my friend Sam Anders about what he should take with him, and he'll be reporting back next week on his findings once he gets there and renders whatever help he can render, assuming he's even allowed into the area, because a lot of these areas are cordoned off by the authorities, aren't they?
Yes, I would think so. I haven't heard all the details about that, but yes, I'm sure they're not letting just anybody in there. So might take some efforts to get past those blocked off areas.
Now, a family that had one satellite telephone would be the most popular family in the neighborhood, wouldn't they, in that affected area?
Well, that'd be one way. I think the cell phones are probably still working. I don't know, but I would assume they...
Most of the cell phones went down.
Did they go down as well?
Yeah. Yeah, they were damaged and destroyed. Not the phones themselves, but the equipment that runs them were damaged and destroyed by the fire. But satellite phones don't need any external hardware.
No.
As long as they got some electricity and a battery, they're going to work. And you have access to an open sky above you.
That's right.
I guess I'm still a dealer for satellite telephones. We weren't having any sales because they didn't have any phones, but maybe I need to get back to them and get back in helping people get these satellite phones. Tom, we got our first caller. I haven't heard from him for a while. That would be Glenn in Philadelphia. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Tom. I'm just curious, the 58 alarms, out of 70, 58 of the sirens are functional. That's like a 21% failure rate or something, you know?
Right.
Yeah, what was the guy doing prior to the emergency?
Well, they should have, and I don't know what they do in Hawaii, but every community I've lived in an incorporated community that had that kind of system, they did a monthly test.
They have what, 70, right?
Right. So 12 were not functional. When a monthly test takes place and they find that one or more are not working, I would think there should be immediate action taken to get them back in service. Don't you think, Glenn?
Yeah, I would think that. Actually, that's only a 17% failure rate, but still 17%. When 17% of your fire alarms in your building are down, then maybe you should be fixing them.
That's become a side issue because they weren't used. The 58 that were working were not used. And Director of Emergency Preparedness has resigned. He's allegedly for health reasons. Well, he's resigned because he's directly responsible for the deaths, in my opinion.
Yeah. I get the feeling like, we never have emergencies around here. This is a great job, no problem. This is paradise. Nothing ever goes wrong in paradise. I just thought I'd mention that. Yeah, I've been very busy in recent months, working 6 days a week. Lots of work to be done, and I'm still kind of sore, achy, limpy, gimpy kind of mode. But thank God I'm hanging in there. So. My talk radio listening has been greatly diminished by the busyness on my schedule. So
I understand. Well, next time you call, be sure and take off your speakerphone, sir.
Oh, I did. You know what? I totally forgot.
It's been a while. You've been out of the habit. I know.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call. The call number is 512-248-8252. Tom, I attended once a month in Crawford County, we have a chief's meeting, which is fire chiefs, police chiefs, paramedic chiefs, and the sheriff, if he decides to attend. I've attended dozens of those meetings beginning 8 or 10 years ago. At one of those meetings, Tom, I asked all the chiefs, I said, gentlemen, if you needed to talk to all your citizens in your community at one time, how would you do it? I was met with this deer in a headlight stare and silence, Tom. One guy said, CB radios. Of course, hardly anybody has a CB radio anymore. But they didn't have a clue because there was no way for these officials, police chiefs, fire chiefs, paramedic chiefs, there was no way at the time, and still isn't for most of them, to communicate with all our citizens at one time. It simply didn't exist, Tom.
No, there wasn't a way for them to do that. And you're right. Hardly anybody has a CB radio anymore.
So what they're left with is the following. I already mentioned using the patrol cars and their public address systems. The other way would be to put a white 4x8-foot sheet of plywood in front of City Hall and write whatever message you want on that 4x8 sheet of plywood. Otherwise, what are you left with? Sending youngsters door-to-door with written messages? I mean, it's in this modern age, it's unacceptable that men, and it's almost all men, I never saw a woman at any of these meetings, by the way, that men in positions of power and authority simply don't think about it, Tom. It's simply nothing they even consider.
No, they rarely talk about those issues.
Now, in the old days, in the 17th, 18th, 19th century, and probably from the early part of the 20th century, the way to alert the town was with a church bell, a really big church bell that could be used to alert people that there was a crisis, to come to the church to find out what was going on. That's what was done for 100 years, wasn't it, Tom?
Yeah, they would use a church bell and a town crier.
Well, a town crier would be a man, once again, I don't believe women would be able to do this, a man with a strong voice and powerful lungs that would walk every 100 feet or so and cry out the message, literally cry it out verbally at the top of his lungs, move on to the next spot and do the same thing, alerting people of whatever they needed to be alerted to. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's right. And that was how they did it. That's what they had to work with, and they used it, and it worked. A little slow, I suppose.
Absolutely. Well, there's an old saying that applies here. Necessity is a mother of invention. You've probably ran into that hundreds of times in your life and your work, haven't you, sir?
Oh, absolutely, yes. That's very, very true.
Absolutely. Well, anybody who works with their hands and needs to get a job done, whether you're a carpenter, plumber, electrician, mechanic, it doesn't matter. You learn how to improvise, don't you, sir?
You do, John, and you have to be very innovative at times to get the job done.
Well, I've always felt that way. When I bought my first car, my Triumph TR3, as a senior in high school, it was a one-hour drive one way to the nearest place that sold actual British sports car parts. So I learned to improvise. One time, I think I've told this, my ignition switch went bad. It simply didn't work. So I went to my father's workshop, and I got out a 110-volt receptacle like you would use on a wall socket, and a lamp plug that you'd use for a regular lamp. And I wired it up where it became my ignition switch. I would plug it in, it would light up the ignition. Push the starter button, I was good to go. I got to my destination, pulled the plug out, stuck it in my pocket. I did that for a week. we have a break. We'll be right back.
Whatever gets the job done.
That's right. That's right.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Home is where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com.
As I said to those who joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This hour is sponsored by The Energy Cleaner. Are you, listen to me, you guys out there. Are you tired of being tired? Seriously? You wake up tired? Do something about it. Arthritis pain got you down? You're not doing the activities that you've always loved to do? Go hunting, fishing, ride a bicycle, ride a motorcycle. Go for a walk in the park, go dancing with your honey because it hurts too much? You're not doing those things? What are you waiting for? Get your life back. Get yourself an energy cleaner. They're available for sale at my website at thelibertyman.com. $285 shipping included to American zip codes. Mattress pads that go with it, they vary in price depending on what you need. And here's the bonus. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the energy cleaner, so you're risking nothing when you buy the energy cleaner. Check out the details at my website. You can place your order right there using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. You want to send me a check or money order, my address is right there also. You don't want to give your credit card out on the internet? I respect that. That's why I have a toll-free order line, 800-592-9543. Building with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications, ham radio-related topics, and as we frequently say, for the benefit of our new listeners, the best place, it is the best place to get started on the internet with ham radio is the ARRL, that's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org website. Everything you need to get started is right there, isn't it, Tom?
It is, John. That's the place to start. And they will also help you find other websites, and you can get directed into other areas that will help you understand and learn what's needed to know to get involved in ham radio.
Tom, I just recalled during our conversation, when I was in the fourth grade, no later than the fifth grade, I built an electric motor in my dad's shop. with 16-penny nails, the common nails used by carpenters, electric wire, copper wire, and electric cord with a plug on it, and a piece of 1x6 to nail it all together on. And you plug this thing to the wall. It sparked and it spun. It spun like crazy. I don't know how many RPMs that thing was spinning, but it was an amazing thing. And I'm sure quite dangerous. But my parents, they let me do what I wanted to. As long as they didn't smell smoke, I guess they thought it was okay.
Yeah, I had several hair-raising experiences with projects like that. In fact, John, in school, the only electronics course, well, we had to take a shop class, and part of it was electronics for one quarter, I think it was. And I got an F and an incomplete in that class because the project that you had to complete to get any decent grade and pass that class was you had to make this electric motor. And I was commissioned by several of the guys in that class. These guys could twist two wires together. They were too busy smoking joints and drinking beer, but they wanted to get a good grade. So they paid me to make their motors. So I made several of these motors for these guys and collected the money. I don't remember what I charged them, but I needed the money for my ham radio projects and that. So I did that, but I failed to make my own.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. The teacher called me out in the class, and he said, Barry Hill, you received an F and an incomplete for this class. He said, you have no excuse. You're a ham radio operator. I know that, and you're capable of making some very nice equipment, and you didn't do anything. And half the class started laughing, John, and it was so bad. They were just snickering and laughing, and that guy actually blew his gasket and got so angry he just left the classroom for a while. And the reason everybody was laughing is because the ones that got the A's and B pluses and all, I made their motors for them. But of course we didn't talk about that. But that's okay. I have to show you, I still have that report card. I'll show you that report card. You'll get a quick kick out of it.
You should have it framed.
Yeah.
Well,
But I collected the money. I collected the money, and that helped me with my ham radio endeavors.
Roger that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having some fun here, but there's a serious side to this. We have, I believe, the current official death count in Hawaii is 111. There is absolutely, in 2020, now, 200 years ago, they would have rang church bells. People would have gone to the church and find out what was going on, that there's fires, and they would evacuate 200 years ago in Hawaii. That didn't happen. These people didn't know what was going on. This is inexcusable. In the modern age, with all the technology we have, the ability we have, the equipment we have, it is absolutely unacceptable that a relatively small community, I don't know how many square miles you think that community is there, like 4 or 5 square miles at the most, if even that.
I really don't know, John, but it wasn't a huge area, but that's big enough to, took some effort to take care of that, get those people alerted. I'll tell you one thing. It's a wake-up call for many, many communities out there to see what went on here, how fast it happened, how bad it was, and they better start reevaluating what they're doing.
I'm going to look up how big that community is in square miles. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, my website is thelibertyman.com. Got some great photos of myself with the various folks that were at the Red Pill Expo over the weekend, now posted at my website at thelibertyman.com. Need to remind people that we are living through right now, it's happening as we speak, on the 18th day of August, the worst crime in human history. That would be the consequences of the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. More than 200 articles and videos at my website to educate you, inform you, maybe help you, help somebody else get educated and informed, hopefully avoid children getting the COVID vaccination clot shot. That's the last hope we have, is to avoid children getting the clot shot. There's products that will help you also. The Liberator Rocket Heater, yeah, it'll be winter before you know it. Labor Day is just a couple of weeks away. And check out the Liberator. We have these stoves in stock, ready for immediate shipment. As I mentioned the first break, energy cleaners, if you're tired of being tired, if the arthritis pain is slowing you down, what are you waiting for? Get yourself an energy cleaner. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency communications. Tom, before the break, I determined the following, that Lahaina, Hawaii, is 7.78 square miles, That's just slightly more than 2.5 miles by 2.5 miles. A relatively compact area, isn't it, Tom?
It is, and I'm sure the population density was pretty high. There's a lot of
about 12,000 people. About 12,000 people. Yeah,
that's a lot.
Rather dense populated. We got a caller on hold here, Tom. We got Mike in Kentucky. Good morning, Mike.
I'm just working under the assumption that a lot of people have looked at the video of the day before this happened, right? Have you seen videos of
the day before,
leading into the evening?
What was the day? What happened the day before? Please tell us.
Oh, there's videos, and I posted on the YouTube videos and BitChute duplicate videos of that on the RBN Facebook page. But there's a video of a guy driving around. Power lines are down, and one point one of them hits his top of his car. And there's the wind is so strong it's blown all kinds of panels and stuff loose. Trees are standing straight out. Some of the power poles are blown over. There's debris all over the streets. I mean, and then, you know, before he leaves town, there's a lot of smoke. And he keeps having to loop around and divert around, trying to get out to the highway to get to leave the town. It's like Santa Ana-style winds. Okay, you know, it goes across the top of that peak, and when it drops down, it drops all the moisture out of that air. So there had to be, I don't know, I've lived through a lot of drought here in the hills of eastern Kentucky. It gets scary when it gets that dry. You can tell that it's dry. The roads, the gravel roads get cracked. The mud puddles dry up in no time, in a day or two, and it gets cracked and dried mud. I've seen roads crack in half. Those people had to be able to tell for days. And if you go to the history of the weather at the airport, goes all the way back into July. The humidity was dropping down at 9-10 o'clock in the morning to 51%. You know, you can find the history of this. It was dry for weeks before this happened. So, and they've dealt with cane fires and stuff like that, where they have, I guess, a sugar industry and things like that getting away from people. So you would think that why was so many people asleep at night? You know that they didn't smell the smoke. I mean, their houses were that modern, I guess, and sealed up, or they smelled the smoke for so long that they just didn't worry about it. I guess there's a lot of stuff that doesn't really make a lot of sense. You were talking about ringing church bells. There are in the drone footage. There's churches, steeples that weren't burned, you know, and like around the industrial section. So I don't understand why so many people were asleep. That's what doesn't make sense to me. After so many people tried to get out, you know, some people had, there were a lot of people had sense to leave. So there's a lot I'm trying to figure out about this.
Right. Well, it's a work in progress, and we'll learn more as these days move forward.
I just wondered if anybody looked at that, you know.
Okay. Well, that's right. Good. That's good information, Mike. Yeah, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Getting back to ham radio, at the ARRL.org website, you can locate the nearest ham radio club near the zip code you live in. It might be one, might be two or three, wouldn't it, Tom? Hello, Tom.
Having phone problems, John. I'm sorry. I heard you, though. But, yes, there could be several clubs in an area. Just search those zip codes around you, and you'll find something.
That's right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in getting started with ham radio, the best way to learn the most, the best way to get your license the quickest, the best way to meet men and women who will help that learning curve be as steep and as fast as possible is to get active in the local ham radio club, isn't it, Tom?
It really is, and that's a great way to find equipment that you might be looking for. And probably the most important thing is to learn the ropes. They'll be the same people that most likely will administer the FCC test session, so you can actually get your call sign and license and get on the air. And they'll help you learn the ropes, set the thing up, and most important, they will help you not to make any expensive mistakes. it's always nice to have that kind of help, and you'll get it at your local ham club.
Right, right. Another bonus of being a member of the local ham radio club is high-quality used equipment is bought and sold, traded back and forth at very good prices, isn't it, Tom?
And that's true, and you just need to put out the word of what you're looking for. Maybe your initial station, getting it set up. Just buy used equipment. You don't have to buy brand new. You can, but you don't have to use quite a bit of money, because many of these people started out with basic equipment, like you probably will be starting with as you get your first station on the air, and you'll outgrow it and move on to something else. So buy that secondhand unit from one of the club members, get on the air with that, and learn the ins and outs of how it all works, and then maybe you'll purchase something that's a little more powerful or different operating conditions, things like that, different antennas, what have you, and then you'll offer that same used equipment, you'll put it back, and it just makes the rounds. It's amazing how that works sometimes. Some of the stations like that, there'll be five or six owners that have used that equipment after they were finished with it to pass it on to the next guy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, lots of advantages to getting active in that local ham radio club. Another bonus, I would say 90-95% of ham radio license holders are also preppers, aren't they, Tom?
Yeah, that's really true. You'll find a lot of those types of people in these clubs. So you'll make some instant friends if you're involved in any kind of preparation activities. You'll have a lot of company just being at that ham club.
Okay, we have another call here. We got Kevin in Tennessee. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Thanks for y'all doing a service to all of us here in the States. I had a question about ham radio. I have an ICOM 706, I think Mark II, got it many years ago, and it's been in storage. If I haven't used it really, do you think it should be pretty much as good as new? Do you think the capacitors are still good on it?
I think so. That unit's been out for a while, but I don't think you're going to have any trouble. Well, let's put it this way. If you fire it up, if there's going to be any trouble, it's going to happen pretty quick. That ICOM equipment is very, very reliable. Even some of the much older units still work with excellent performance. So I just wouldn't be too concerned about it at all. That unit has been made. Well, they don't make that one anymore, the 706, but it was made, and the Mark II, the Mark IIG or something like that.
Right.
I think those, yeah, that was one of the last versions of that, and it was, I would say it's at least 15, 18 years old. Is that about right?
Yep.
Yeah, those, I've operated one of those before, and it was a very good unit. Yeah, they came out. I think the next one after that was the 7000. I have an ICOM 7000, brand new in the box. I've never used it. I just bought it because it was on sale, and I thought it'd be good to have. I was going to put it in another vehicle, but then I sold that vehicle, so I'll keep it in. But it's very similar to what you have, and that's that's an all band. For anybody listening that's interested, that's a compact unit that the caller has, and it is it's not very big. It's a 100-watt radio, but it covers all the ham frequencies from 160 meters all the way up through 450 megahertz, the UHF ham band. And you can also use it as a shortwave receiver and a scanner, but it doesn't do P25 digital. But it is a great analog-type receiver, and it's a great shortwave receiver. If you just want to listen to shortwave broadcasts as well as use it as your ham rig, you can use it. It's compact enough. It's a great mobile unit, but it can also be set up in your home and used that way. It's a very good unit. I don't think you're not going to have any trouble with that.
What does the word waterfall mean, refer to when they're talking about these? Is it the display like a spectrum?
Yes. It's kind of like, it just shows the spectrum, and you can see the blips on there, the different signals. You can see the bandwidth of the signal. And it's just as the, it's like, you usually have those in a software-defined radio, where they just take the spectrum or a slice of the frequency spectrum, and the radio it's almost like a computer. That's just a direct sampling analog to digital converter, and it allows you to just see the whatever signals are in that passband. You'll see them drifting down through like a waterfall, and you'll see how wide they are. You can see signal strength. It's pretty impressive. I personally don't use it myself. I just don't care for it. Too much action going on. I like simplicity as far as radio equipment goes.
One last question. I've heard Professor McKinney talk about different antennas. And I'm wondering, I had actually one of the first cell phones that had a little wire antenna that popped up there, but now it's they use another type of antenna, the fractal antennas. Do they have those for ham radios?
Oh yeah, they can be used on a lot of different microwave VHF UHF type of equipment. In fact, the guy that was really, I can't remember his last name. His name is Chip. If you just do an online search for Chip and fractal antennas, he owns a company up, I think it's in Massachusetts, maybe Boston area, if my memory's correct. But anyway, Chip developed a lot of this fractal antenna stuff. So it goes to show you that a lot of these technical developments over the decades have been designed and perfected by ham radio operators. Many industries started that way. The cell phone industry started that way. That's how it works. And so that's why ham radio is still in existence today, because it allows experimenters to develop new modes of communications.
And, of course, you don't need a license to operate a ham radio under emergency conditions, correct?
Well, you hear this all the time, and the only thing I'll say about that is, what is the definition of emergency? So the FCC will decide that if they come after you. The chances of getting caught are pretty slim, but they are really stepping up their enforcement bureau, so watch out. Go to the FCC enforcement page on their website and look at all the recent fines. They're having some of their fines now as high as $2 million, and they're going after the property owners where the offense took place. If the equipment was, say, perhaps in an apartment building, they can't get anything out of the guy renting that apartment that's operating illegally, but they can sure go after the owner of the real property, and that's what they're doing.
No, I mean, like if you're in a hurricane or something like that, you know,
It's real simple, Kevin. If life or property is at risk, you do what you need to do to save life.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And in a hurricane, or you're in an aircraft and the pilot dies and you're trying to get help to land that plane, I don't care what anybody says. I'll grab the microphone and talk, and we'll sort out the issues later. If everybody survives, that's the way I look at it. You know, there's exceptions to everything, but you can always beg for forgiveness later. You know, just do it and beg for forgiveness later, or plead ignorance, whatever works the best.
Well, thank you so much for your help and time.
You're
okay, Kevin.
Welcome.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Call number is 512-248-8252. This question comes up frequently about being able to transmit without a license. And the bottom line is, if somebody's at risk of dying, if there's property at risk of being destroyed, you do what you got to do. And under those circumstances, the FCC is not going to do anything. They're simply not going to do it. You do what you got to do to save lives and property, don't you, Tom?
Yeah, and that's exactly what you have to do. I mean, if it's an immediate danger, you just do it and you don't worry about it. And if they come after you, well, it'll get down. You know, if it got bad enough, they wanted to make an issue out of it, you'd end up in a courtroom. But I don't think under those types of circumstances it ever get there. And if it did, I don't believe a jury would convict anybody of a crime.
No. Well, I've worked with dozens of prosecuting attorneys the last half century, and they don't take on losing cases. They simply don't do that.
No, so, they wouldn't want to deal with it.
No. Here's our last break. We'll come back and wrap this up. We'll be right back.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I just got notice from my engineer that the RBN's website is down for the time being. And it's been slow to load for the last 2 weeks. And we're working on troubleshooting it. And anyway, the archives are in good condition, so you can listen to the archives, but the website itself is down, just to give everybody a heads up. Well, Tom, we get emails from people that have, as a consequence of you and I discussing these matters every Friday morning, they've moved on to locate their local ham radio club. They've studied and got their ham radio license. They've set up their ham, the radio shack in their home. They send me photographs of their equipment, their towers, their antennas, and so forth, and I forward them to you. It's very gratifying that we know we're having an impact, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it really is, John, and it's interesting to see what some of these people have accomplished, some of them in a very short period of time. So they're definitely learning some new skills, and then they, in trying times, they could be a very important asset in their community.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know how many ham radio clubs there may be a club, and there are certainly ham radio operators in Lahaina, and I don't know what they've been able to do because, obviously their radio shack could have got burned up along with all the other things that were damaged and destroyed. But hopefully we'll get some reports about ham radio activity around that area, what they were able to do, how they were able to help, and be able to report back to us. Our friend Ted, the retired airline pilot, he should have some reports for us next week. He's traveling there, maybe today, traveling to Lahaina to see what he can do to help. There's also reports, Tom, of the Lahaina police blocking the exit roads for people to escape. I'd be interested to find out what in the world's going on there, right, Tom?
Yeah, there's going to be some question and answer sessions on that one. I don't know what to think about that, John, but if that happened, that's pretty bad. That's really bad.
I was reading the account of a woman who spent 7 hours in the Pacific Ocean to escape the flames and survive. She could hardly breathe. The embers were coming down on top of her, even being in the ocean. And, of course, hypothermia is a major issue when you're in the ocean pretty quick, isn't it?
Well, I would think so, yes. And you could get exhausted just trying to tread water. Maybe she found something to hang on to that was used it for a flotation device, but that's a tough situation to be in.
Well, you don't need to be in water over your head to stay out of the fire. It's just,
well, that's true, too. Yeah. I don't know how deep the water was or what they were dealing with, but it was all around.
Well,
it was a really
typically there's a beach where the water gets incrementally deeper the farther out you go, but we'll get more details in the next week or two. Well, Tom, I want to thank you for being with us as always. It's always good to visit with you and discuss ham radio with Emergency Communications, the events today. And ladies and gentlemen, you want to get started with ham radio, go to the ARRL.org website, educate yourself, and get started. There's no better time than now, is there, Tom?
That's right, John.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us, Tom, and we look forward to speaking with you next week. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
After our break, which will be back with Dr. Huff. Stay tuned, everybody.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.